welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Question: does my perception of who I am have anything to do with the impact I have in the world around me? What kind of impact can I really have if my sphere of influence is just my family? I want to leave a legacy. How do I do that? Robert McFarland joins us from Virginia to help us answer those questions. You see, life moves at a very fast clip. That's why it's vital for us, from time to time, to downshift, to gain perspective. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to push the pause button of our lives and assess where we stand in relation to God. Do we have a relationship with God? Do you, dear friend, know God personally? Have you heard the good news that Jesus Christ loves you so much? He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, yes, Christ who lives, calls you to himself. And by placing your faith and trust in him, you will experience what it means to live new life in Jesus with a new perspective. New purpose, no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what your challenge might be. Robert McFarland is a brand identity consultant for Christian ministries and nonprofits. On his blog, robertmcfarland.net, he encourages Christian believers, especially men, to be intentional about their faith and lead purposeful lives that leave a legacy. He's married to Tamitha. They have 6 children. They recently moved out of Washington, D.C., the suburbs of Washington, D.C., into the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Robert, welcome to our show.
Well, welcome. I appreciate the welcome. And actually, I'll give you a Virginia howdy, y'all.
I love that. We're doing the aloha and the howdy, y'all. And we're bridging our worlds. We come together
indeed
today. Robert, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up all over, really, starting, I guess, with my birth. Born in Bangkok, Thailand, traveled around the world with my parents, none of which I remember, though, and really spent most of my time in the East Coast of the United States, in Virginia, as well as in Connecticut. And so that's really what my background consisted of in terms of where I've come from today.
Now, what was it like, you know, Virginia, Connecticut? I mean, let's harken back to those early days, some sweet memories that you have having grown up there in the East Coast.
Well, I had a really wonderful family that I grew up with. I mean, my dad was a really good, solid, moral man. My mother was a very loving mother, and I really couldn't have asked for 2 better parents. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, we grew up in a church-going home, but it was not a Christian home. The home that I grew up in was the place all of my friends wanted to be, because my parents actually treated them like adults and like people with thinking minds and sensitive hearts. So all my friends wanted to be around my parents because they were just really good people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, there was that emptiness that I didn't know I had until I was about 21 years old that only God could fill.
Who would you say, leading up to this point, who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, I would say it was probably Rip Austin, my fifth grade Sunday school teacher, probably had the most influence with me in actually becoming aware that I needed Jesus Christ in my life. Mm-hmm. And he had a passion for Christ that just radiated from him that everybody in his Sunday school class knew about, and it was just part and parcel of who he was. And that just caught my eye and made me think, there's something about this guy that's really different about everybody else that I've met here at this church.
Fast forward a little bit to a time in life when you were at the crossroads, really, you know, your faith. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I went off to college thinking I was going to take a vacation from religion. I had seen a lot of hypocrisy in the church that I grew up in, and just really wasn't interested in being involved in any organized religion where I seemed to think that there was a dual standard in terms of do what I say and not what I do. Mm-hmm. So I went off to college thinking I was going to escape from religion and didn't go to church at all while I was there. And yet, while I was there, I met a young lady who challenged me and got me thinking about things like sin, like salvation, like a need for God in my life. And I thought, that's interesting. I thought I'm a pretty good person. What do I need to be concerned about sin for? And it was through that conversation with her that I became more and more aware that there was a God-sized hole in my heart that only he could fill. So when I became 21 years old and some friends of mine decided to help me celebrate that milestone, I realized afterwards that it was really, a miracle that I survived that night. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I realized there is something that is missing in my life. When I was in high school, I chose a drafting class, which was really uncharacteristic for me. I took mostly academic classes, and yet here I thought I wanted to be an engineer or an architect or something and thought I wanted to learn how to do drafting. Well, I don't have an engineering bone in my body, and so I don't know why I wanted to take that class, other than the fact that that teacher, during one of the class times that we were all doing our drawings, decided to throw out a topic of conversation about a movie he had seen the night before called Scarface. Now, I've never seen the movie Scarface. I don't ever desire to see that movie, but nonetheless, apparently there was a scene in the movie where I guess it was Al Pacino said, when he is surrounded by his opulence in a bubble bathtub or something, and he says, "Is this all there is?" That kind of struck me. And it was that very line that I recall 5 years later when I was a junior in high school, a junior in college, sitting in the library 5 days after my 21st birthday thinking, is this all there is? When I had drunk deeply of all that the secular culture had offered me, and I felt empty, and I felt that there was something else that I needed in my life, and I reached out to this God that I had heard about growing up, that I had seen evidence in Sunday school teacher's life, in fellow students in my high school who had had radical conversions from being anarchists one day and then becoming rabid followers of Jesus Christ the next. I realized there was a genuine way of living. When I was in high school, I rejected that, thinking, well, that's nice for you, and that's okay for you to do, but I'm not interested in making that kind of radical commitment to something. But here, when I was 21 years old, I realized that what I had done for 21 years was not working, and it was time for me to make that radical commitment to living my entire life committed to the purpose of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a radical transformation. And I also think just in hearing for the rest of your life. You know, that at that turning point, that sort of catapulted you into the orbit of life that you have been on ever since. But it goes back to that question that I suppose resonates in the hearts of people today. Some people are searching and reaching to achieve something, to gain something, to own something. And then when they own it, they achieve it, they gain it. And the question comes about, is this all there is? Mm-hmm. Going back to the words of Al Pacino, or in that movie, Antonio Montana. Is this all there is? Dear friend, as you listen to Robert McFarlane today, are you asking a similar question in your moment in life right now? Is that all there is? Perhaps there's more. When we come back from our break, well, let's just ask Robert about it. Is there more? Has there been more? I mean, in the orbit of living the life in purposeful following of Jesus Christ, has it been more for him? We'll hear from him when we come back. RobertMcFarlane.net, that's how you can stay connected with him. He also offers a free ebook, An Intentional Christian's Manifesto. Check that out and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We trust that God has encouraged and inspired you through our program. One common thread among all our guests is that relationships are a key to living well. We at The Good Life want to encourage you to get involved in your local church and find a small group where you too can find healthy relationships that will further bless your life.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it's one of those things where you feel a little bit disappointed. You know, you feel a little bit empty, maybe little. Maybe a bit shallow in the real depth of absence that you feel. A void is there in life. What are you talking about, Danny? You say, you're speaking in cryptic terms. I can't follow you. Maybe you're tuning in right now. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro speaking with our guest today, Robert McFarlane. I'm joined with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Hello.
You can find out more about our program at The Good Life Hawaii.com, and Robert McFarlane at RobertMcFarlane.net. You can read his blog there. I've read it. I've been blessed by it. He also offers a free ebook, and Intentional Christian's Manifesto. You say, now, Danny, what was all that you were talking about before? An empty life, a life that seeks to find meaning and comes up empty. Robert McFarlane, in your life, when you gave your life over to Christ, what happened as a result of the emptiness that you felt prior to that?
Well, Danny, thank you for that question, because that is really where everything comes back to, that Christ offers the peace, offers the hope, offers the joy that we so crave. And we look for it everywhere else, and we don't find it. But then with Christ, we actually find it, and it is worth all the searching, because he has everything that we could ever want. I think, though, that within my life, in terms of what I saw happening elsewhere, that I think that we can have this double-mindedness about how we approach what is really important to us. I remember when I was in high school, or in younger, I people of church, and they kind of said, it kind of kept Jesus in their pocket. And he was there whenever they wanted him, and they just pat his head every now and then and keep him at a good distance. We wouldn't want him to be too all-consuming now. It wouldn't. And yet I saw people who really believed that Jesus was the answer and radically transformed their lives. But those are the people who are the happiest. And I thought, well, if that's the way it is, then that means if radical commitment to who Jesus is, if I'm going to really receive the benefits and the blessings that I want, and therefore it's no longer about me, it's about him.
Well, you, in light of that, as your life has grown and developed, you yourself have experienced fulfillment. You've experienced, I hear it, I sense it. Fast forward to today. Robert McFarlane, in a contentious political season, people are being challenged to evaluate their own perspectives. Let's put it into that context. Perspectives on life and society. What is your view on how we are to fix the problems in our nation today?
Yeah, we're in a mess now. It's a kind of big mess right now. We see it in the financial mess that we're in, we see it in the political mess we're in, we see it in the morals we're in this country. And yet I think that we need to realize none of our problems really are financial or political or moral. They're really spiritual problems and they need to be solved from spiritual solutions, because it all comes back from a spiritual disobedience that we can trace these things to. So, but I also want to make sure that people can realize that these problems are solvable. We may not think so. They seem to be intractable, that they're totally impossible to be solved, but they are. They're very solvable, but they need to be solved in the right way.
Okay. So how? Let's just say you're... Let's say it is solvable. Well, how is it solvable?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to realize that if we're going to solve a problem that is ultimately spiritual at its core, we need to make sure that we're figuring out, well, how does it cause? Okay, we realize from Scripture, looking at Deuteronomy 28, that there are actually blessings for obedience, and there are also... non-blessings for disobedience. And so we need to make sure that we realize that we are doing the things that actually will be the blessing. And it's not written on our terms. This is written on... He set this forward. So we're going to do whatever we so choose to do, ignore what his standards are, and then think that we can be blessed in that. We're going to be deceiving ourselves.
Well, someone says, look, Robert McFarlane, I'm just one person. Come on. What can one person really do? Would you say?
What would I say? I would say, you know, that's really the wrong question to be asking. If we ask the question, you know, what can one person do? I mean, I'm just one person. The right question is actually, what can I do? That's the question. Because really, it only takes one person to be able to make a difference. It's funny, my mentors in Virginia was a person who would talk about how, hey, individuals get ignored, but organizations have clout. And yet it was funny, because this guy who said that individuals would get ignored, through his own initiative, actually created a movement in Virginia that today, 30 years later, is still going strong because of because he chose to take action and turn the tide that he saw that was prevailing at the time. Mm. One person can make an amazing difference if they're committed to doing what they see will right the problem.
You have an anchoring in wanting to draw on the well, as it were, of Scripture. Are there biblical examples that support what you're proposing?
Lots of these examples from Scripture, Danny. Let's look at the life of Abraham. Abraham was just a man, okay? And we somehow get the idea that he was some kind of a guy that was perfect in everything that he did because he's written in Scripture, right? Well, no, actually made mistakes. I mean, we see in Scripture that he lied about his wife being his sister twice. And I mean, so he fell down. He wasn't perfect. But he was really, so he was really no different from us. But what he did do differently was that he knew who he was. And when God called him to do it, he did it. So as a result, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So with that, he really set forward an amazing progression that as a result of his obedience, as a result of him believing God, he became the father of all faithful. God called him a friend. God said to him that if you do what I'm calling you to do, you're going to be blessed, and your progeny is going to extend as far as there's more stars in the sky. I mean, the more children that you'll have, then there will be stars in the sky or sand on the seashore. And for a childless man, that was an amazing concept. And yet, he believed God would do that. And today, we see him as being Father all faithful. I mean, the fact that God told him, leave your country and your family, and I'll make you a great nation. He did that. He said, God said to him, sacrifice your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And he did was do that. God bless him.
Suzanne Maurer, you are a woman of faith. You've interacted with so many people, and people of faith, great faith, and God has done marvelous things through them. In relation to what Robert is sharing, what have you seen in the lives of people and how they relate or perhaps even resonate with what he's describing?
One of the couples I think about quickly are Charlie and Lucy Wiedemeyer, who faced just tremendous adversity with his Lou Gehrig's disease, given 1 to 3 years to live. And yet, God brought them to a point where Charlie stopped praying to be healed and began praying to be used. And with their faith in him, he did amazing things. And as Robert was sharing, I was thinking about the biblical story of Joseph. That's an amazing story. And I even think of the 5 words that God impacted. Is this all there is for Robert? Just 5 words that were life-changing. And so, but God is the one behind all of it. And so he gives us the faith. And then if we can just have the discipline and the trust to follow through, he can do miracles.
Robert, you... You've written a book, an e-book, An Intentional Christian's Manifesto. How were you inspired to write that?
Oh, wow. I really started realizing, as we were talking, what we need to know, or what we don't realize about ourselves, that we don't have a proper view of ourselves to really be able to do what God has called us to do. Because I think I know my own self, that I knew that I said I believed in God, but I really didn't believe that he could use me. Mm. And so that if we really believe that he can do all things, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, then we really need to believe that he can do all things through us. If we have an accurate view of God, that God loves us, even when we mess up, and if we desire to obey him because he loves us, and that we love him back, and we obey him as a result. That is a powerful thing. We can see through the lives of different people in Scripture. Because once we really internalize the fact that God loves us, not just say, yeah, you know, that Jesus loves me, this I know, but I mean really believe that and act on it, and that such that it really changes how we view ourselves and how we view our lives, we can actually love others as a result of that, and it changes the perception of everything because we realize, wow, the creator of the universe really loves me.
And if I may just jump in, the word intentional has so much power and commitment, and I'm even sensing a new prayer in my life to not only pray that God would cause me to seek him with my whole heart, but be intentional in my relationship and living out that walk with Christ. I love that word, Robert.
This is an illuminating moment,
yes.
Really, because as the scripture says in the New Testament, in the book of James, speaking of the brevity of life, how life is like a vapor. Today, yes, today. In fact, right now, yes, this moment. This moment is a gift from God. We cannot relive yesterday, and we haven't yet lived tomorrow, but we do have now. What Robert is describing to us with this word intentional, intentionality of living, really does speak profoundly of faith. And when we come back, I'd like for you to share with us about that, the intentionality, yes. Even as Suzanne talked about prayer, sure, indeed. But how does that relate to leaving a legacy? Because life is so brief. When we're young, we think we have all the time in the world. As the years go on, we realize we better make the most of the moments we have. How do you leave a legacy? We'll talk about that big one when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Do you have a need that you would like prayer for? We have a dedicated prayer team who prays for and encourages everyone who needs some encouragement. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and use the Contact Us page to send your prayer request. May the Lord bless you.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guest.
All right,
I want you to write this down, okay? Write this down or make a note in your mind, in your mind's eye. RobertMcFarland.net. That's the blog of our guest today. And he sends us messages, these notes, these insights on life that he writes. You could tell he spends a great deal of time. Actually, you know what you feel? So this is what I feel when I receive these blogs from Robert. I feel like he cares. I feel like he's thinking about me. And I feel like he's thinking not only about me, but about others, and he's concerned about building the lives of people. And that's why he speaks about intentionality, and he himself is living the intentional life. He's offering a free ebook, An Intentional Christian's Manifesto. It's available there at robertmcfarland.net. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. It's certainly a blessing to be with you. If you're tuning in right now, you can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And as you do, go ahead and share it with a family member, share it with a friend, as we believe it will really inspire them and build people up in your life today. Robert, we were talking about legacy before our break. Well, intentionality and legacy. How do these two very large concepts come together from your vantage point?
Well, I think first of all, what we need to do is we really need to have a vision for who we are and what we can become. Having that legacy and intentionality really comes from understanding who we are, because if there is no vision, the people perish. Okay, and as a result, if we don't see ourselves rightly in God's eyes, knowing He loves us, and that therefore, if He is for us, who can be against us? If we don't know that, then we sell ourselves short. And it really grieves God's heart, because He wants our lives to be an adventure of faith. He wants us to be able to trust Him and to step out there boldly, knowing He can take us wherever He wants, and we can run, knowing that the destination is sure, and He's got God delights in faith and trust in Him in a real and tangible way like that.
Suzanne, when you think about legacy, or we hear Robert, in your life, and again, because of your connection with so many people, how does it relate with you, legacy and intentionality?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we then have a partnership that nothing can break. Jesus isn't just beside us. Through the Holy Spirit, He lives in our hearts. So everything we do, Christ is doing with us. We have that partnership. And so my prayer would be that I would live with confidence in sharing Him, His love, certainly, and realize that the purpose of my life is to share Christ with others. And I loved St. Francis of Assisi saying, we need to share Christ 24/7, and if we absolutely have to, use words. And there are times when we have to use words. And I feel like the secret for me has been to pray that God would use me, to pray that God would open up doors, maybe in the grocery store, maybe a phone call. But I hope that my legacy can be that I was willing to serve Him at any time, in any place, for His glory.
Robert, define for us, I want to press in a little bit further. Define for us what you mean by legacy and why that's so important.
Oh, gladly. You know, I think when I look at legacy, it's really what will happen as a result of my life. So what kind of imprint, what kind of impact can I make as a result of the life that I have lived? And so therefore, when I look at it in that context, it's really something, it's not about brick and mortar that I would build, or it's really about how I would invest in the lives of those who would come after me. So really, my life is not about me. My life is about those that I would pour into. And specifically, even if somebody says, you know, I don't know anybody and I don't have any influence around me, but if somebody just says, you know, I just got kids, you know what? If you just have even two children that you are taking care of, you have great influence, because those people, they're not kids forever. They will someday grow up and become adults and have children of their own, potentially. And so, as a result, if you look into a long-term perspective of how your life could have impact long after you leave this earth, like for 10 generations, because Scripture tells us, even like people like Jonadab, influence on, look up Jeremiah 35, you may not know the name, but his influence extended 10 generations after He was on earth. And so that's the kind of thing we can have, is if we set our trajectory in the right way, we pray towards that end, we are intentional about modeling it in a certain way, and then actually be able to pass the torch to our kids, who can then pass the torch to their kids, and their kids, and their kids. We can have amazing impact to thousands potentially millions of people that we would never meet as a result of the way we live our lives.
Okay. There's potential. That gives us hope. That gives us a sense of purpose, even a sense of direction, even fulfillment in just the thought of it. But now, let's pull it back a little bit from the perspective of people's realities. We can have that hope of leaving a legacy, for example. But how do we get there when we face challenging times, discouraging moments, failures, times when we don't think we can continue on? How does that relate with what you're saying? Does God use even those faltering moments for legacy?
Oh, absolutely, Danny. Because no one is a failure. That we may have situations in life where we feel like we fail, but I love the definition of a setback. That okay. A setback is just a setup for a comeback.
Ah, I like that.
And really, so when we have those kind of setbacks in our lives, when we come across these roadblocks, and we say, Lord, this is not part of my plan. How did this get here? What should I do? The best way for us to be able to navigate around that is really to have a vision for where we're going to be. What is it that God wants us to achieve? Have that big vision in mind to say, Lord, I am leaving a legacy. I am not just living my life the way that I see fit. I am living my life unto you so that my children, my children's children, my children's children's children can have the blessing of having a godly influence passed down through their generation. God talks about how those who love him will have ripple effects to thousands as a result of an obedient life. And so for us to be able to have that kind of vision in mind, when those setbacks come, when we say, oh, God, how could this happen? Or how am I supposed to deal with this? Just know those setbacks are going to come. They will. But to be able to have that vision that we can rely on of who we are going to be and what legacy we're going to leave, and then just keep chugging on even in the midst of it.
Danny, I think on a world scale of both Johnny and Nick, mm-hmm. Johnny Erickson, Tata, Nick Vujicic, what examples they are
yeah.
to all of us and encouragers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what a legacy they're leaving.
Absolutely.
Well, that gives us a subtle yet much-needed reminder that we all can indeed leave a legacy even through our setbacks. Robert, say it again. I like that phrase that you shared with us. Give it to us one more time.
That a setback is just a setup for a comeback.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's a setup. God's just setting us up for a comeback. I love it. It moves me. It touches me. Robert, when we come back from our break, I understand a little bit better now. And I suppose our dear listener, I think our dear listeners, there so many, as they listen, they're so keen and sharp in their sensitivity, their intuition, and grasping what our guests, like yourself, are conveying. And as they do, and as we do together, it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder, and I'd like to ask this when we come back. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share a little bit about it. How has Robert McFarland, Robert, how have you experienced the Lord's help through difficult times in your own life, in your own experience? Perhaps as you share something that the Lord will prompt you to share with us, galvanize us even further in the application of intentional living, living for legacy, and living for God. Can you do that, brother, when we come back?
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Thank you for joining us for The Good Life. This program is possible only with the support of generous listeners like you. Would you consider going to thegoodlifehawaii.com and making a donation?
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, it's a heavy question. It really is a heavy question because the answer to the question sets in motion a number of things, and it really is not just from the external standpoint, it's from the internal standpoint. What does it do in me? What does it do in you? You say, Danny, okay, what's the question? Well, the question is, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times? That's a question I want to pose to our guest today. Robert McFarlane is joining us from Virginia. He's the author of the ebook, An Intentional Christian's Manifesto. It's soon to be released as a book, but you can get a hold of it for yourself as an ebook, An Intentional Christian's Manifesto, at robertmcfarland.net. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Find out more about our program and our resources at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Robert, I asked it before our break, and no, you didn't get a chance to really answer, but I'm wondering if you'd be open to sharing how the Lord has helped you through difficult times and how it has impacted your perspective on your life.
Oh, I'd be honored to, Danny. About 4 years ago, actually, no, let's go back a little further. 6 years ago, my oldest daughter ended up contracting a very strange condition that we later found out was Lyme disease. My daughter, who had been very active and very intellectual, had lethargy so bad she could barely walk to the bathroom 3 or 4 times a day. She ended up getting pain over her entire body so badly that she would have to stay up 24 hours straight in order to sleep 12. And that you can do the math there, parents, that means every other day mom or dad is nocturnal. She had mind fog so bad she could barely carry on a conversation, and she had to drop out of homeschooling. She couldn't even read things and have it make sense to her. I can tell you today that 15-year-old girl, actually 4 years ago, became healed. Actually, she became healed. Actually, it was a miraculous thing. That today she's a college graduate, today she is a marathon runner, and today she lives a normal life. But that all happened because she, and I'll say I also, but I think she is a big part of this, that she was able to figure out that when God said, "Not fear," he meant it. My daughter suffered dramatically from fears of all kinds of different things. She didn't realize she was afraid of what she was afraid of until finally God put up a mirror to her life and made her realize that you are not doing what I told you to do. I told you in my word to be strong and courageous. And I told you repeatedly in my word that you are to not fear, and yet you're afraid. And you're giving in to what the enemy would try to tell you. And as a result, when my daughter repented of that fear, just all those conditions just fell right off her. I tell you that to tell you that I had to go through the same thing in my life, that I had fear crippling me so badly that I felt like I could not professionally do what I needed to do, that I would make plans and not be able to follow through on them, that relationships and my professional career in so many different areas. But I can tell you today that it is on, that I can trust my Lord, that he is going to provide all that I would ever ask or imagine, that he can do all things, and that therefore there is nothing that is impossible with God.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the miracle. What happened?
Well, she had a situation where, like I said, her entire body was shutting down, and we thought she was going to, we were going to lose her. That her systems, even though she was in her teens, in some ways mirrored like 70-year-old women. It was really awful. The doctors looked at her charts and just were befuddled and couldn't imagine that these could be the stats of a teenager. But it really goes to show that when God says in his word something, he doesn't say it just to hear himself talk. That he says it because he knows it's best for us. And he wants us to obey it because it is best for us. And so from that, I have drawn great encouragement. And I hope our listeners draw great encouragement mm-hmm. from that, knowing mm-hmm. that God is for you. He is not against you. That he wants you, he wants to invite you on this journey of faith, this adventure of faith, to say, trust me, and we're going to get through this.
Go on, Robert. To someone hurting right now, someone who is apprehensive, they are living in trepidation. They are neutralized, maybe paralyzed by fear. They don't even know why. Speak into their lives with the grace and sensitivity of the Lord and share with them what you believe the Lord would want you to say to them at this moment.
Mm. Well, God can do all that you would ever ask or imagine. And the fact that if you are suffering from fear right now, that it's crippling you in terms of your relationships or in terms of your career or whatever it might be, that is solvable. This is something that you can just say, I don't want to do. I don't want this in my life. Lord, would you just know this is something I want in my life, and I want to give it up. I want you to help me take this away. I want to get rid of it. And so from that, God can work in that, just in that desire to get rid of it, work through that, to help you heal from the wounds, from the scars, from the devastation that fear can cause.
Mm-hmm. Could you lead in a prayer, Robert?
Oh, I would be glad to. Lord, I pray that you would be with us and teach us, enable us, Lord, to humble ourselves, enable us to pray, enable us to seek your face, enable us to turn from our wicked ways. Lord, help us teach our children to do the same. Lord, help us to realize that our children would then want to choose a mate with whom they would be equally yoked, so that they would then teach their kids to pray, humble themselves, seek your face, turn from their wicked ways. And that they would then repeat this cycle again and again and again. Lord, I pray that we would all realize the full impact that our lives can have, the power that you choose to have through us in a life of faith. We're using our lives to design this and to leave the life that you desired for us to leave. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Robert, as you look ahead there with RobertMcFarland.net, your blog, your ministry, your growing ministry, what do you have coming up on the horizon? What kind of programs do you have set up? Any other books that are coming along the way? Any updates?
Well, yes, I am going to be speaking at a national convention in September. And at this point, it looks like it's going to be put together. And I'm working on a book as well, actually, that'll be coming out later on. Not just an ebook, but I'll be writing another one as well. So really, I would not have been able to do any of this 4 years ago. This would have terrified me to think that I could write a blog, or I could write a book, or I could carry on a conversation with you, Danny, with listeners listening in. So I just want to say that's something that God's done an amazing work in my life, and that he can do that in our listeners' lives as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That he can rescue us all from that same crippling fear.
Well, as you speak out of your own life, your own experiences, and there's an intrinsic power that God deposits in you in being able to speak that way. And when people hear it, they know this is from a man who has gone through the process of God's grace. Suzanne has experienced the grace of the Lord throughout her life.
Mm-hmm.
I have experienced it. We will continue by the grace of the Lord to experience it more. And dear friend, as you listen to Robert McFarlane, whatever the process is, that phase of the process you might be in this particular season, know that this setback is really a repositioning for a comeback that God is preparing for you. Robert, we've got just about 30 seconds left. I'll give it back to you, dear friend, as a parting shot, a jolt of encouragement, loving encouragement to our listeners right now. What would you say?
Well, I would encourage people at this point to realize that they can be an active participant in their lives. That in order for you to really be able to leave a legacy, it's not about you. There's nothing to do with you. So if you think, well, I'm nobody, that's perfect. You qualify. Therefore, you can live for those who will come after you. You can make an impact that would be left for generations if you would just want to serve your Lord and be willing to let him pour himself into you so that you can pour yourself out into others. That is all you need to do to be able to have an impact beyond your wildest imagination.
Thank you, dear brother. Well said. Well said, Robert. Robert, thank you so much. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Suzanne. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Bless you.
Bless you, too.
Dear ones, we hope that you have been encouraged indeed, as we have, and by the story and the admonition of Robert McFarlane. You can find out more about him at robertmcfarlane.net. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation set for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Robert McFarlane. Again, find out more at robertmcfarlane.net. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just